Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And of course, another week of big trends. And of course, the biggest one right here in the States was another round of the presidential reality show last night. Well, another vote for those delegates and those primaries. What a dumb system this is. I mean, why don't we just have one day where everybody goes out and all the states are the same? And all these things are rigged. There's a study that just came out. Some 50% of the people are hip to the system being rigged for the elections. You know, it's the club. It's all it is. It's the Bloods and the Crips, but people rather call them the Democrats and Republicans because they believe in their lies and they want to cover up the murder and thievery that the Bloods and the Crips keep committing. Hey, you see Obama, you liberals out there? No boots on the ground, huh? Yeah, 16 times he said no boots on the ground in Syria. And now there are boots on the ground. What are we doing there? Whatever happened to a thing called, all right, I know it's old. Maybe I shouldn't talk about it. The Constitution. Yes. Oh, yeah. That thing that they wrote when they broke away from Mother England, where only Congress has the right to vote on whether or not we become involved in foreign entanglements. Hey, I'm the commander in chief, like the one before him and the one before him, the Bushes and the Clintons. I'll start wars and kill anybody I want. I have the supreme authority as the dictator of the United States. You know, I got to tell you, you know, this whole card, you know, Trump is coming out and blaming Hillary for playing the gender card. And you go back 8 years ago when Obama, you know, and everybody said, you know, if we had a black man in the White House. And the world went berserk over it. It was going to be the salvation. It's not about race, creed, or color. Slimers and lowlifes come in all of them. Let's make this straight. It's about the human spirit. And the human spirit doesn't, of a higher level, it makes no difference what race, creed, and color you're from. So it's the Bloods and the Crips, the murderers and the thieves. More boots on the ground. And no one calls them out for it. All those liberals out there, all you Democrats, if a Republican was in doing this, oh, boy, you'd be screaming what it should be, murder. What are we doing in Syria? Oh, Assad has to go. He's an evil person. Yeah, and who are they going to put in his place? Oh, moderate rebels. Yeah, you know what a moderate rebel looks like. Nah, maybe they only kill with missiles and they don't behead. Yeah, they use American-supplied, Saudi-supplied, Qatar supplied, United Arab Emirates supplied weapons sold to them by the United States. That's what moderate rebels do. Them other bad ones, they does beheadings. Yeah. Murderers and thieves, the presidential reality show, which one are you going to bring on? And the election's decided already. It's going to be obviously an Obama, a Clinton-Trump race. Sanders is gone. You know, kiss it goodbye. Sayonara Sanders. Bye-bye, Bernie. You know, it's a one-act play. And again, nobody wanted to look at his war record. And you go to Truth Dig and dig it up. supported Bill Clinton's murderous destruction of Iraq when he was Congressman Sanders. Supported Bill Clinton's murderous Yugoslav war. Why can't anyone call these people murderers? Hey, if I've said this over and over again. If you know that someone's going to commit murder and you support it and or you supply them with the armaments to do it, are you an accomplice to murder? So to me, anybody that supports these wars is an accomplice to murder. And of course, Sanders supports the sanctions that Bill Clinton put on Iraq, in which over 500,000 Iraqi children under the age of five died. That's a fact. The fact is Bernie supported the Afghan war and supported to fund most of the military budgets. They voted against the Iraq war. So he's gone. It's toast. He's over. Matter of fact, not only is he over, our forecast is that he may be Vice President Sanders. And you could already see Bernie backtracking. Just go to the news. It's there. It was over there in Rhode Island. Yeah, he won that state. And when he went after Hillary, what did he do? Well, he didn't go after her too hard, did he? No, no, no. No more talk about her ties to Wall Street. No, just policy differences. Just policy differences. That's the language that they use to frame it, to frame the lie, to frame the deceit. So he's backtracking. We're all in this together, Bernie says, and I'll support him if he gets the nomination. And again, we've said this before. Bernie's like a front man, bringing in all those people that believed in Obama, but a new generation. Just like they bought Obama's one lie after another. The great peacemaker. Yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. Yeah, that started along with Sarkozy and Cameron over there and Hillary Clinton and Samantha Powers and Susan Rice. The devastation of Libya. Yeah, that Obama, the one with the 33,000 men troop surge and women in Afghanistan. Oh, I'm going to pull the troops out of Afghanistan, folks, by 2015. Well, I changed my mind, and I changed my mind because I'm a liar and I'm a traitor, and everything I've ever said, nothing that I promised, I fulfilled that promise. Going to close Guantanamo on day one. Folks, by the end of the year, first day in office. So what they're doing with Bernie, Bernie's got the millennials. Bernie's got the people, you know, that believe in a progressive government, and it's not. And so he's bringing him in, and with Hillary's negative ratings of 56%, he'll be able to bring in that vote. And I have to tell you, we're going to be doing more research on this to get the numbers straight. But Trump could win this election. Because what Hillary has going against her, besides who she is, corrupt, lying, sociopath and psychopath, again, by their deeds you shall know them, Assad has to go. Gaddafi has to go. And a murderous husband's track record. So, in looking at the total structure of this and where the election is, she has two big negatives. One is the support and, of course, the implementation, her support and her husband's implementation of NAFTA. That's lost so many jobs in the World Trade Organization. And Trump is trumpeting that message over and over again as Americans keep getting lousier and lousier jobs and seeing their manufacturing jobs sent overseas. And all they have is lousy service sector jobs here in the States. That's a big one. So what we have to do, when we're going to be doing this at the Trends Research Institute, is we're going to be doing some in-depth analysis of the Rust Belt states that he could win that normally have gone Democratic, and other southern states that have gone Democratic that could swing Republican on that one issue. On that one issue, trade. Because he's going to sell her out. He's already calling a corrupt Clinton as a traitor. When we forecast before Trump got in the presidential reality show, and this is really, you cannot make this script up. Here you have a reality show champion now at the head of the race in the presidential reality show. Remember, when he came in there, there were 17 contenders for the president, the nomination on the Republican end. You know, I'm watching Fox last night, and it's Newt Gingrich here. And that other guy, Hannity, shooting their mouth off about how Trump, you know, how he defeated a great, wonderful, wonderful, strong, firm, aggressive, high-level set of contenders. And what those 17 people that the Republican Party put out, how proud they should be. What a bunch of little clowns. Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, I'll say anything Kasich. One little liar, loser, freaking coward and fool after another, and they brag about how great they are. But going back to the presidential reality show, Trump went in there, and you know, in that whole conversation, as I listened to it last night, and I may have missed some of it because I kept flipping between that clown show and the other ones on CNN, all the paid consultants to give their opinions, no free ones. Jeb Bush's name was never mentioned that I heard. I'm sure it was throughout the night, but it wasn't prominent if it was mentioned at all. So you go back to the presidential reality show in the beginning of it, when they had 17 candidates out there, and Trump goes up to Bush on national television, puts his arm on his shoulder, basically said, you know, you're a nice guy, but you don't have any juice. You're a nobody. And he knocked out one top contender after another. The next one in line was Carson. Boop, knocked him out. So now you have this race, the presidential reality show, with a real reality show champion. And again, the first thing, the major thing that Hillary Clinton's weakness is NAFTA. And the support of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which she supported. And of course, Trump's come out of the against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And one of them, in one of the debates, he said how it was going to help China so much. That's how little he knows about it. China's not part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Anyway, a year ago, before Trump got into the presidential reality show, in our Trends Journal, we made a forecast. Remember, this is 2 months before Trump got into the election. So I mentioned, number one, Hillary's greatest weakness is her support on trade. And with Americans' jobs so lousy, with 51% of Americans earning under $30,000 a year, with 20% of American families having no breadwinner, trade and jobs, or as the Clinton administration the Clinton campaign in 1992 said, it's the economy, stupid, is going to be the major issue. And people will look to Trump as the Berlusconi, the billionaire he knows what to do, and if he made billions, you'll make millions. And just like the Italian people bought that line, they'll buy it over here. So the number two issue, and again, this is a year ago that we wrote this, and Trump is already trumpeting it, is here's our forecast. Remember, this is out of the Spring 2015 Trends Journal, written 2 months before Donald Trump got into the presidential reality show. Quote, if the election were held today and Hillary Clinton survives the cash for influence scandal, we forecast Clinton as the winner. On issues of gay rights, women's rights, and abortion, Cruz, Paul, Rubio, Carson, Fiorina, and Huckabee will find weak support among a sizable portion of women voters. With all the candidates, including Clinton, with all of them on the same war page, and none presenting strong and unique economic policies to truly create jobs and increase wages, what separates Clinton from the guys is the girls. And we go on to state that, you know, some 10 million more women voted in the last 2012 campaign than men, and Clinton is going to get a good portion of those. And, of course, she's going to get a good portion of the black and Hispanic votes, particularly the Hispanic votes. But when you break it down by states, and because we still have this archaic system of an electoral process rather than popular vote, Trump could win. Yes, Hillary will get the women vote. Obama got 12% more than Romney. Hillary will probably get 25 to 30% more than Trump. But when you break down the states and you look at the Electoral College, will Clinton win Ohio? Will she take Pennsylvania? Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Alabama, these states where they used to have strong manufacturing that's been sucked, that sucking sound that Ross Perot warned in that debate with Al Gore back on Larry King in 1994. The next sucking sound you hear will be jobs leaving America. So all those states that suffered from the great sucking sounds, and all those communities as you drive through America, which Gary Null has done with his movies and videos showing the decline of Camden and other areas. Take a trip up to Syracuse. Go out to Flint, Hammond, Indiana, one place after another. Or Hammond, Illinois, I forget which one Hammond's in, but anyway. All these Rust Belt cities. Holy Toledo. So, on the corruption issue, it's a big one. A very big one. And backtrack Bernie, you know, he would only go so far, and this is why we're saying that he may end up as well as the vice presidential nominee, because all he ever said to Hillary was, show us the transcripts. Why did you get paid $250,000? What'd you say? How about if he was really a man and really fighting, he would look her in the eye and say, why would they pay you $250,000 and your husband $300,000 an hour to shoot your fat mouth off when we could hear you do it for free all day long? What great knowledge and wisdom are you passing on to the Goldman Sachs gang that they need to bring you in to hear your BS? Of course, he's not a real man. And of course, he's a party player. So he played it down. So when you look at the facts, and Hillary Clinton's connections and Bill Clinton's to the money changers. Where they get like $150 million they made? Oh, we left the White House broke, Hillary Clinton, that one? That's going to be a big issue. They never built a thing in their lives. They haven't manufactured anything, not sold anything, other than selling out the American people. Yeah, you know, the Glass-Steagall Act that allowed breaking up of the banking laws that allowed the big banks to become the criminal operations that they are, thanks to Bill Clinton. Yeah, lovely Hillary. And you notice what's gone in this whole debate with BS Bernie was really the war record. About 2009, when Hillary backed the Honduras coup that removed the democratically elected and progressive president and put back the control of the back into the hands of the oligarchy. And isn't it wonderful how Honduras' human rights situation has worsened? And of course it was Hillary back in 2009. Remember Obama? Hey, you liberals. Hey, you little liberals that hate the truth and can't admit you've been conned. Remember when con man Obama was running for office? He was going to sweep Washington clean. Oh, you forgot that one. And who did he bring in as his team? Yep. Holdovers from the Bush and Clinton administrations. So, go back to 2009. And Clinton joined with Bush holdover Defense Secretary Robert Gates and everybody's neocon favorite, General David Petraeus, or aptly called Betrayus, in pushing Obama into the major escalation of that Afghan war insurgency. And you remember Obama shooting his mouth off about how successful it was going to be? Of course you don't. It's only we, the little people, if we fail at what we do, we pay for it. But when they fail, they call it success. Because after all, look at Hillary Clinton's record as success as Secretary of State. Can we point it out? So, again, you know, Hillary was the big loudmouth on the that liberal interventionist human rights move for regime change in Libya. We came, we saw, he died. She cackles when being interviewed and how she felt about his death. Yep. Oh, this is the Hillary Clinton that compared President Vladimir Putin to Adolf Hitler. Yeah. Again, it doesn't make any difference if it's a man or a woman in charge, if he's black or she is black or white, what religion they are. Low lives come in all of them, and high lives do too. So, she has embraced that neocon strategy, and we could bet on it that if she gets elected, it will be more of the same and worse. And, you know, even that that neocon, Robert Kagan, matter of fact, that's the husband of Victoria Nuland, America's Assistant Secretary of State, that was put into place by Hillary Clinton, who helped overthrow the Yanukovych government in Ukraine. Yeah, that Hillary Clinton, that Victoria Nuland, that Robert Kagan. He came out, and he's this influential neocon. He abandoned the Trump-dominated Republicans, and he's throwing his support behind Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
That's right. That's what he did. And of course, Victoria Nuland, who was the Assistant Secretary of State, as I mentioned, that helped overthrow the Ukraine government. And of course, you hear the video when she's at the National Press Club in Washington speaking about how Ukraine has to follow the path set forth by the IMF and that Ukraine's European and not Russian. And she was also, remember, this is Hillary Clinton, you liberals, and she was brought in by Clinton. She was the former senior aide to our great murderous Vice President Dick Cheney. So, Trump could win this thing. And of course, you know my campaign slogan for 2016, Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hitlery. I'm no fan of Trump's. But as I look at this campaign more and more, and we had forecast 2 weeks ago that it would be a Clinton-Sanders White House, and we're going to do more research on this to get our numbers straight, it could in fact end up becoming a Trump-whoever White House. And that's not so far-fetched. People are disgusted with the system. I mean, you see the negative ratings that... Oh, by the way, having said all this, there's a great opportunity now for a third party. Remember, they just ran the primaries for the Bloods and the Crips. That doesn't mean the election is over. That's just which one of the murderers and thieves do you want to put into place? Remember, let's just, you know, I went on about Hillary over there. Remember, Trump, he's going to do worse than waterboarding, right? And he'll bomb anybody, including anybody's families, that get in the way. And I'm going to build that military so big, nobody's going to mess with us. Could you imagine an adult talking like this? Of course you can. Listen to all the other stupid lines all the other freaks throw out. So whoever wins, we lose. But the point being, and a very big point to make, that should not be overlooked, is that there's time for a third party. Look what's going on around the world. Love them or hate them, agree or disagree, take a trip to a country of your choice. How about Austria? Let's go over there for just a couple of seconds. They just had an election. And you know what happened? That's right. For the first time since the end of World War II, the ruling party looks like it's not going to rule anymore. Yep. They call it the right-wing populist party. And what happened over there this past Sunday is really big news, because the same thing is happening in Germany. They call them populist right-wing parties because, oh, by the way, they never call the Republicans or Democrats the murderers who slaughter people around the world under the name of bringing freedom and democracy, humanitarian missions, and saving them Yazidis on the mountains, right wing. They never call the Republicans and Democrats right wing that rob us of our constitutional rights, our Bill of Rights, and give our dough to the multinationals and the banksters on Wall Street, the white shoe boys. They never call them right wing. Why can't we call Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump right wing? Hey, it's not right. We got to be hypocrites and phonies. We'll call them Democrats and Republicans. But going back to Europe, they call these parties right wing. And again, without taking a position, but looking at their side of it, you're an Austrian, you're a German, you're an Italian, you're a Greek, you're a Swede. You have within those nationalities and the others, of course, that I didn't mention, Spanish, Portuguese, one after another, certain cultural and ancestral traits. It's who you are. I mean, they're great Germans. I mean, you think of the names, you know, Bach, Beethoven, Wagner, you know, on and on. You know. Italians, Michelangelo, Da Vinci, Puccini. Great people in their own ways, but the different ancestral traits. I mean, Germans are great, but hey, whose food would you rather eat? So, what's going on now with all these refugees and migrants flooding into Europe? The people are losing their identity, and they're rising up against it. You can criticize them. It's not America. America's a different country. We're a melting pot. Those places aren't, never have been, and don't want to be. So the people that oppose it are being called right-wing. And you see it in Germany. Their populist party is the alternative for Germany party. And you see it in Holland. Again, you see it in France with Le Pen's party. Agree with them or disagree with them is not an issue. It's why it's happening. I'm mentioning this because you can see where a third party could spring out of nowhere. As well, a new system could develop. For example, in the Netherlands, 2 weeks ago, they had a referendum. The referendum was that they didn't want Ukraine to come into the Euro group or the European Union or have European rights. The referendum was started by a satirical group. The people voted it down to have them come in. You ready for this? By a vote of over 68 to 32. The numbers are thereabouts. The people did it. The only way we see this change happening is outside the political system. So what's happened here with these elections, it's very clear that when you look at the negative ratings of both Trump and Clinton, like Trump has like a 65% negative rating overall and Clinton a 56%. There's time for a third party. If the Australians could do it, if the Germans can do it, if the French could do it, if the Spanish, they're doing it as well with their Podemos party. Why can't we do it? So to me, the only way we're going to see this change that you can believe, really believe in, is a new way. And to break up the monopoly of the two-headed one-party system. So, on to some other news. Well, of course, there's the markets and what's going on. It's a global crisis. More information's coming out about the debt levels that have so many of us people that are in the economic business very worried about. And especially in the emerging markets, all this debt that they've taken in when the quantitative easing of America lowered the value of the dollar and all this hot money flew into these countries, now they have to pay it back. And they can't. And it's a real problem. And it's going to get much worse. So those are the kind of things we're looking at. And as we speak and keep speaking about this, virtually every day, or I shouldn't say every day, virtually every week, There's a new report coming out from either the World Bank, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, or the International Monetary Fund, or as I refer to it as the International Mafia Federation. Today, just downgraded Latin America's growth forecast. As we're speaking, how come? Well, take a trip to Latin America. You have Brazil in their worst recession in 100 years. Venezuela is on the verge of a revolution. I mean, you're looking at growth contraction in Venezuela. Last year was nearly 4%. This year they're forecasting another negative 4%. Argentina, they're looking for that to be down about 1%. Venezuela down 8% as their inflation skyrockets. I mean, they're looking at inflation rates of over 700%. You're looking at Chile. They're lucky to grow now at 1%. And remember, they were on fire when copper was on fire, when copper prices were high, and there was a big boom going on, particularly in China. So you have downgrades around the world. And then you look at the facts here in the States. Yesterday, industrial production numbers came out. They were way down below expectations, barely up 0.8%. And to make matters just a little bit worse, they downgraded February's. And they were already heavily negative in February, and then they downgraded it to negative 3.1%. And of course, President Obama would say, as he has said, that anyone says that the American economy is weak is, quote, peddling fiction. And there's a man that should know something about peddling fiction, because that's all he's ever peddled. Again, you know, comment to us, let us know what you feel, you know, say what you want to say, but just show us the facts. And the facts are that, as I said, Obama, one lie after another, more boots on the ground. And as we're looking at the, you know, the total global economy and looking at the data, you know, it's just not there. In the States or overseas. There's declines going on everywhere. They're looking at, by the way, they're looking at European growth now. They're estimating it to come in at this quarter at 0.3% GDP growth. Now, that's after the European Union instituted negative interest rate policy, and they're buying 80 billion euros or $90 billion worth of government and corporate bonds a month. And it has failed to push the system up. So when you look at all the data in America, as we see it, it doesn't look good. As a matter of fact, today, Trends Journal subscribers just received our trend alert, as they do every Wednesday. And, of course, we publish the Trends Journal quarterly. Trends Monthly will be out this week. Trends Journal will be out in a week and a half, 2 weeks. And a trend alert each week. And we do Trends in the News broadcast each weekday night. And our trend alert that went out today is 21st century is not the American century. What's next? America, once the world's undisputed global heavyweight, has downtrended into an economic, political, social, cultural, and lifestyle bantamweight. Having made its mark and had its day, the USA is following a familiar path towards self-destruction that has been taken by empires past, both famous and forgotten. Just as the 20th century, the American century, faded into history, so too has the nation's glory and prestige. While politicians lie, the numbers don't. On the economic front, according to the Pew Research Center, Americans are less well-to-do now than they were at the start of the 21st century. And we go on to state all the data, whether it's in economics, whether it's in suicide rates, whether it's in life expectancy, whether it's in debt levels. America's in decline. But of course, Obama would say to me, you're peddling fiction. And again, from a guy that knows fiction, that's all he could think about. Not a straight line out of the cat's mouth, man. One lie after another. I couldn't, despised Bush, with blood on his hands and a moron that he was and still is. But to me, Obama was the greatest traitor that this nation has seen in the way he lied his way into office. So as we see the facts and add them up, the American century was the 20th century. The 21st isn't. So what are we going to do about it? Again, on the political scene, we need a new movement, a new third party. On a personal level, it's up to you to change it any way you can. And how are you going to survive and thrive in these times? What are you going to do? Look at the level. Why do you think Bernie Sanders got all that support from the millennials? You're looking at a lousy future and no hope or change you could believe in. All the college debt. You know the numbers. College debt is higher than credit card debt. And what did he promise? I'm going to give you free education. You get free health care. Why do you think they went for it? Deep in debt, no future. So what do you do? How do you plan your future? You have to break away from the mainstream mindset. Look what happened when this guy Prince died. Massive coverage. Financial Times, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. Big front page photos. Day after day, Prince died, Prince died. Meanwhile, the knowledge, information, and trend lines that you need to follow, they're not being shown. Why do you think only 6% of Americans trust the media? I'm not making that number up. That's the real deal. 6%. Are distrustful of the mainstream media. And this is a poll conducted by the American Press Institute and the Associated Press. Tattoos. That's all they are, prostitutes. So, what do you do? You need to follow the trends. You need to follow the directions that are going to lead you into a future, not the one they're sending you into. And for those that really want to get on trend, may I suggest you do this very quickly, because space is running out, and this is your last chance to sign up at the discounted rate, and that's to join our entrepreneur, entrepreneur. That's right, to be an entrepreneur rather than an entrepreneur. Because as an entrepreneur, you can get into business, and it might be the wrong one. It might be one in decline, rather than one that's going to reach new heights. You want to be an entrepreneur to pick up those big market niches that have been left behind by the big companies, the multinationals, that own so much but sell so few of what a little what they have and let go of the smaller product lines because it doesn't bring them in the dough. That's what becoming an on-trendpreneur is. An on-trendpreneur is someone that is in a profession that wants to expand it and go into new directions. An on-trendpreneur is one that wants to leave the profession and find a new one. An on-trendpreneur is the one that's in business, selling products or merchandises, or even manufacturing them, and wants to expand what they're selling, get rid of what they have, get into something new, and build bigger, broader, and with more of a foundation. An on-trendpreneur is a college student that doesn't know what direction to take, where the future is leading, and how to get on the path to success. That's an on-trendpreneur. So for those of you that are interested in coming to our conference, the On-Trendpreneur Conference, Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and 23rd, and learn the trend tracking tools that I've been building a toolbox of since 1980, and seize the golden opportunities, I suggest you call 845-331-3500, 845-331-3500, and ask to speak to Taryn Clark, and she'll give you all the information that you need. And again, if you register now, before May 1st, there's a discount. If you wait longer, you have to pay more. So this is going to be something that you have never seen before. And I could say that with all honesty and integrity. That's not a line. What? Go to Harvard. Take a trip to Yale. Why not Princeton? How about NYU? Stanford? Hey, not one trend forecasting course. That's right. Zip, not a zero. They don't teach you how to do it. They don't teach you how to do it, how to get on trend, and how to look ahead. We're the only ones in the business world that do it. And you can get on trend now and become an on-trendpreneur, because I have to tell you, it's a very urgent time right now. You can see where things are going geopolitically, economically, socially. Again, the trend lines are before us all. And this exclusive seminar is going to put you and way ahead of the news, way on top of the trends, and give you the information and insights that you need to help you secure your future. There's nothing else like it. It's unique. So I suggest you call 845-331-3500. 845-331-3500 and speak to Taryn Clark, and Taryn will set you up and give you all the information that you need. It's going to be Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and 23rd. It's information you won't find anywhere else. And unlike our other trend seminars and conferences, and of course Gary Null, and the video is still up there, For anyone that really wants to see some great insights with me, Gary Null, and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, you go to our website, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, to find out more information about that video that you're not going to want to miss. You're going to hear insights, observations, trend lines, and forecasts from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Reagan's former Assistant Treasury Secretary, Gary Null, and myself that you've never heard, guaranteed. Unique. If you don't like it, just send it back. It's not an expensive video. We'll give you your money back. If you don't like it, you log on to it. But unlike all our other seminars, this time we're not making it available by video because we're bringing in some very, very different aspects and insights that are proprietary. Remember, the Trends Research Institute is the only institute that teaches trend forecasting. They have all these history courses in college. They make you memorize dates until you get stupid. And no one of the major universities to the community colleges teaches how to look ahead and prepare for the future. And you know why? Because the future is off limits. They don't want you to see what's ahead. They want you to be dumbed down with prints and all this other news. And by the way, people ask me, when did the dumbing down of the media begin? I remember it well. I was on CBS's 48 Hours. And they came up to interview me. And I was shocked at what was going on with the O.J. Simpson coverage. Yep, that's when it began. And they never stopped. They don't want you to see the future because they don't want to prepare you for the dangers ahead, because then you'll start moving ahead and realizing that we need a new way. And by the way, when we hold the Entrepreneur Conference up here in Colonial Kingston, we're holding it at the Academy. That's right. The 1774 Academy. The Academy. That was the name of it. Famous people like John Vanderlyn, Governor DeWitt Clinton, sons, others, went to school there. This was a premier academy in New York State, in Colonial Kingston, where the seeds of democracy was sown. That's where we're holding this conference. So, it's something that you might want to consider again. Telephone number is 845-331-3500. And if you sign up now before May 1st, you'll get a discount. And again, unlike our other conferences, this unique event will not be available afterwards on video. But again, just to see the quality of what we have and what we do, I suggest you go to our website, trendsresearch.com, and get that video of Gary Null, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. You're going to hear things from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Remember, this is Reagan's former Assistant Treasury Secretary. This is a guy that had the power to call in the director of the CIA and question him under oath. You're going to hear things from Paul Craig Roberts you've never heard. And trend tracking and trend insights by myself, by me. So, in closing up and looking ahead, the future's in your hands. I really, really suggest you stay very tuned in to the developing trends, particularly on the economic front. On the economic front globally is a massive slowdown. Here is a fact. The debt to GDP ratio of Japan and China is about 250% debt to GDP. 250 times debt to GDP, not percent. Could you imagine that? Debt to GDP ratio of over 250%. All of this has been done to boost the economy with Chinese dumping in more and more dough each month at record levels. The Bank of Japan, this is why I'm saying stay in touch. The Bank of Japan is going to be meeting tomorrow. Their negative interest rate policy has failed. They're in a recession. Exports are declining. They're going to be coming out with another announcement tomorrow. The announcement, as we see it, is going to be much more aggressive quantitative easing. What does that mean? It means more money and more negative interest rates that haven't worked. You know I don't give financial advice. I'm suggesting you tune in and stay in touch because at some point, we believe gold is going to spike. As we speak, it's around $250 an ounce. They cannot keep this policy of Ponzi schemes going with negative interest rates. No one has ever heard of negative. Even when Jesus was chasing the money changers out of the temple, they didn't have negative interest rates. There was no such thing as negative bond yields. There was no such thing as quantitative easing. It's ready to explode. It's a time bomb, an economic time bomb that's ready to go off. And they keep making the fuse longer. But at some point, that fuse burns ahead of before you can make it longer. And when it hits that bomb, it's going to be an explosion like we've never seen before. It'll be one that shakes the world much worse than the panic of 08. It will be at the level of the crash of 1929. The crash of 29, the Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, world wars. The panic of 08, the Great Recession, currency wars, trade wars, world wars. When all else fails, they take you to war. So I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Gold is at $1,250 an ounce. I said $250 an ounce. So I apologize for that. But I make mistakes with numbers. I never was very good at them. So this is Gerald Celente. That's Trends This Week. See you next week.